S-R-N.
Oh, that sounded terrible. The SRN sounded terrible.
Show.
Nice.
I love the little build up there. Welcome to the bonus episode, the second Crespo Disco show. I guess that's just what we're calling
it. Second Crespo Disco show.
The second Crespo Disco show.
So is this called the Crespo Disco show?
Is this called the Crespo Disco show?
Because that'd be kind of, that's a lot of O's.
The Crespo Disco show. Yeah, I don't know. Welcome to Crespo Disco number 2 for, what is this, November 2013.
Sure.
Not like,
Numero dos for those of you listening in Spanish.
Numero dos for those who turned on their SEP. Thanks for downloading and checking us out. We appreciate it. In our efforts to produce more content and give you guys more free entertainment, this is our second music-centric show. People ask for it, so the people are getting it. You can check out the last Crespo Disco from almost exactly 1 month ago.
Almost exactly?
Almost.
Is that such a thing?
Exactly.
Can you be almost exactly?
You can be almost exact. You can be almost exact in horseshoes, hand grenades.
Anything else? I'm pretty sure those are the two exceptions to the rule.
There was one other thing you could nuclear war. Nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's either...
No, you can be pretty
all
close.
Or nothing with those.
No, you can be close. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can be close, though. Drop the bomb next to this city. The city's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't gotta drop it right on
Dude,
the city.
Just,
oh, I was
you
close.
You just launched the bomb.
It's like you're supposed to hit the middle
all of
the city,
know.
But you hit the edge of the city with the nuclear weapon. Like, oh, well, I'm sorry, guys.
Almost, you were almost exactly there.
I was close to the center.
Close enough. You guys should see him. He's just jamming out over here.
Jamming out. Moving so quick, you can't even see it. Well, welcome to the show. Enough dicking around. Let's start talking about some music. I don't know why we're talking about nuclear weapons. Geopolitical warfare. The first Crespo Disco, we talked about the music that we listened to growing up.
Yep.
All the way up through high school.
Correct.
Now.
Well, I mean, some of it.
We touched on it. Microcosm of all the music, but still, that's what the topic was that time. Five songs that represented that time period. Now we're doing another five songs, this time representing from the college days till now, and it not really doesn't have to be spanning the whole time. It's just whatever music has stood out for us over the last however many years since then. So here we go. Let's just get right into it.
Right into
well,
it.
I mean, why screw around?
All
right. Why don't you go first, Drew, with your first song that you really wanted to talk about? This
all
something
right.
That's really representative of what you've been down with since the college years, since high school.
My first pick is a song called Brand New Colony by the Postal Service.
Postal Service. I remember these guys.
It's, I don't know, one of those bands, man. I lived that album.
People love that album.
Yeah.
People loved it.
Really good. I got a chance to see them live as well, which was awesome.
The first time around or second time?
First time around.
Second time around,
didn't have a chance.
No,
first time around, it was small. I saw him at the Social the first time around.
Which is, for those out-of-towners, a tiny little club downtown Orlando. How many? That holds what? 120, maybe? 150? Maybe 200?
Probably like 230, I think.
It's
I think
small.
I've seen on the wall like some upwards of like 230,
maximum
280.
Maximum occupancy?
Yeah, like 230, 280, something like that. No more than 300 people.
No more. That's... Fire code. Fire
yeah,
marshals
yeah,
coming
totally.
Out. So you saw them there?
Yeah, saw them there. It was awesome. The second time they came around, they were at the Hard Rock, which is huge.
And then that sold out.
Yeah, and that sold out.
That's crazy.
And I saw them at the Social, which was amazing.
Yeah, so screw all you late comers.
Exactly.
Drew was there in the beginning for some postal service.
Oh, man. You make me sound like a hipster when you say that, Chris.
No, because that predates hipster.
It does, you're right.
Hipsters are fairly recent. So here we go. Here's a little bit of Brand New Colony. Well, I'll get this started here.
But yeah, I mean, this is, it's a combination of two dudes. One guy who does the music, one guy who sings.
Right.
The guy from Death Cab for Cutie is the guy who sings.
Okay.
Which band I do not like. Don't like a thing they've
so
done.
So who does the music?
The he does, the band, his band name is Dentel, I guess you pronounce it. It's D-N-T-E-L. That's his solo stuff. He's the one who makes the beats. But this is the music that really got me into, like, the synthetic music, if you will.
The more electronic and computer-based stuff.
It's
less organic.
Yeah.
More electronic.
Exactly.
This is the gateway band for you.
Kind of, yeah. It was definitely the big one that got me.
I don't know what it is. I mean, Postal Service is cool. Maybe it's a singer.
Probably.
But I just never got into the album, never really liked them or the music. But, I mean, I don't know. I remember when it first came out, I was like, oh, screw this stuff.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of, it seems kind of innocuous now. Like, I don't mind it at all. Like, if someone put on the Postal Service album outside of that one song.
Oh, yeah. Such Great Heights.
Such Great Heights.
I actually specifically did not pick that song.
Because that's the one song.
Because if you start playing that song, it's like, oh, it's fucking that song again.
It's like saying, I like Nirvana. Here's my example. Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Although, I do like the Iron and Wine cover.
The Iron and Wine cover is awesome.
It is actually pretty good, I gotta say.
That these guys have they cover Suddenly Is That Everything Is Changed by the Flaming Lips.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is, it's a different take on it, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And they have one really dark song on the album that I absolutely love, but man, it's fucking depressing.
It's too much.
Yeah. Well, it's about like going out to bars and the first line is, this place is a prison, these people aren't your friends.
No.
And every time I walk into a bar, that goes off in my head, and I don't know why. It's like, God damn Postal Service.
That's funny. All right, so there you go. Postal Service, it's what got you into the more electronica stuff.
Yes.
All right, that's cool.
And the kind of the softer stuff, too, as well.
Yeah, because it does have that vibe for it.
Yeah.
It's very laid back, very chill. Because at the time, you're more...
And the chicks dig it. The chicks love it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The chicks love the Postal Service.
Chicks do love the Postal Service. You always got to keep that in mind. Faux show. All right, well, I guess getting into mine, definitely doing a 180 here. As opposed to starting with something that was, like, launching me into further realms of new music, I'm going to mention something that was kind of the culmination of all the music I was listening to at the time.
Okay.
Because going by the end of high school, it was a lot of metal.
Yes.
And hardcore and all.
Choo, 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 choo.
Yeah, and a lot of Northeastern stuff. So okay. It was like Hatebreed and more punky hardcore, I guess. But then there's this one band from Jersey that I know you know. A lot of people know them. Now a lot of people know them. At the time, a lot of people did not know them. This little band called the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Tiny little band.
And they're math, tech, punk, metal.
Dude, that first album was brutal.
Yeah, the first album was ridiculous.
I remember...
Well, actually, it's the one-year album, the first full-length album,
yeah.
Calculating Infinity.
Yes.
Calculating Infinity,
yes,
is
that album.
Their first CD was actually they put out the EP Under the Running Board. It was a 3-song EP, which was just sick music, and then self-titled album that had like 6 or 7 songs. But Calculating Infinity is the one. It's like, whoa, people were like, whoa,
yeah,
what's this?
I remember that's when I started watching them live,
and this was like, yeah, the live stuff. Oh, forget about that. Greatest live show ever, pretty much. Calculating Infinity came out, like, I want to say 99, something like that, around that time. So that was before metal had really taken off in a more mainstream way like it has in the last few years, and before it all got diluted and all sounds the same.
Yeah.
This was back when people were doing syncopated math type stuff. It was like, what?
Mathcore.
You're blowing my mind. and this is the one song that's like, you know, back then, this was the one song that everyone went to a Dillinger show to see them play.
Yeah.
Like, this is the...
This is the song.
This is the Smells Like Teen Spirit type thing. But it's also one of the most accessible. Like, if I played another song, it'd be
you'd be like, "What the hell? Why? What are we listening to?"
That's the thing. To recommend Dillinger to someone, you can't. You have to find out what kind of music they're already listening to.
Yeah. It's like, do you listen to metal?
Do you already
first?
Listen to metal? Because that helps. If you don't, okay. Do you maybe listen to like high forms of jazz or something experimental and weird? Are you ready for
because if so, add a lot of distortion and make it really loud, and that's what you get.
It's like walking up to someone and saying, "Oh, you've never had fish? Let me help you get into fish. Here is some sea urchin." Like, no, you did it wrong.
You give them
the white fish that doesn't taste like nothing first, and
exactly.
You work your way up. This is the sea urchin of metal.
Pretty much.
43% Burnt is a song. When you used to see them, when they did a song live, it involved a fire.
Yes. Oh, God. Dude, they blew fire at the social.
They blew fire at the
social.
They
weren't supposed to. They were told specifically not to, and they did anyway.
Definitely a fire hazard.
Dude, I remember being at the bar and feeling the heat on my face. It was that close. And so, I was at the bar.
Yeah, it was a big fireball. So here's some, check out some 43% burnt real quick. Here we go.
Yeah, this is it. This is the song when I think Dillinger.
Yeah, this is the song. Now, for the new kids listening to the newer Dillinger stuff, there's other songs that they gravitate towards.
Yeah.
But this is old school, OG.
When I think Dillinger Escape Plan, this is the song that plays in my head.
And this stuff right here, that's the kind of stuff where a lot of their songs are like a lot of that.
Yeah, but for really extended periods of time.
Yeah, so then if you see it live, it's like it's just so amazing. It's a Sonic Assault where it's just
so awesome. And then they have the flashing lights that go along with it, so if you have epilepsy, you're totally going to go into seizure.
They do want to hurt people, I believe.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's a visual assault as well.
I mean, it's just one of the craziest, weirdest bands out there. And definitely the top of the heap by the time I was in college for when it came to metal.
And they're still around.
They just put out an album a couple months ago.
15 years later, these guys are still trekking.
The Killer is Among Us is, I believe, the name of their latest album. It's good. The album before that, Option Paralysis, is great. It might even be their best one. So, the Dillinger Escape Plan. If you're into metal and you don't know these guys, then I guess you're not into metal.
At this point in time,
you should be.
You should know about Dillinger Escape Plan.
This should not be a revelation for you metalheads. You people into jazz. Listen to this. This is kind of jazzy.
There's a lot of distortion and screaming.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, jazz. Anyone?
Oh, yeah.
You're the jazz? How about right here? How about this part?
What they were just playing, it's just without distortion.
Pretty much, right? It's these guys are insane. So the Dillinger Escape Plan, I love these guys. 43% burnt, one of their best songs. Just go to YouTube, search 43% burnt, and look at all the fire.
Yeah, exactly. See if you can get a live performance too.
There's a lot of live performances on YouTube. It's, the problem is most of them sound like shit.
Well, of course,
and especially when it's Dillinger. If it doesn't sound crystal clear, you're like, what? Are there
lyrics? Is he saying anything?
Did they break their instruments? I think.
Did they break my ears?
I think there was a mishap.
I think my ear's broken.
I think Drew broke his ears. So there you go. Definitely went 180 between Postal Service and Dillinger Escape Plan. It's like, good morning.
But I love both those bands.
So there you go.
They're both awesome.
So Drew, what is your number two song?
My number two song is... It's entitled Absinthe Party at the Fly Honey Warehouse. It's by a very favorite band of mine, Minus the Bear.
Nice.
Probably the band I've seen the most live.
How many times do you think you've seen Minus the Bear live?
Oh, good Lord.
Guesstimate.
Probably around 10.
10, nice.
Probably.
I think I've seen Dillinger like 6 or 7. I've honestly lost count.
Because there was a point in time where they were coming around, you know, before what?
They were just here
Omni,
a week ago.
I know, but before Omni came out, they all had like regular jobs.
Like when you're doing Planet of Ice still?
Yeah. You know, they were touring massively. You know, they were coming around like every 6-8 months.
Right.
So, you know, every time they came around, I saw them and, you know, I started listening to them, first album, all the way through up until they just put out Acoustics 2.
Oh, did they?
Most recently.
Did they?
Yes, actually, they have an acoustic version of this song on it, too.
Oh, I gotta get on that.
It's good.
All right, so Absinthe Party at the Fly Honey Warehouse.
Yes, sir.
Let's see what we got here.
It's this song. Everybody, it's this song. I've probably listened to this song probably like 500,000 times.
So how would you describe the Minus the Bear sound to people? Because it is kind of, I know any other bands that sound like them.
I do, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I've heard a couple. But it's they've all been post-Minus the Bear.
Bands that sound like Minus the Bear.
Exactly.
Like Minus the Bear.
Like there's a local band, Tampa, who's instrumental called Auto Automatica.
Uh-huh.
Sounds... like Minus the Bear, minus lyrics.
Interesting. Auto Automatica.
Auto Automatica.
From Tampa?
Yeah, from Tampa. They're local.
Cool.
I mean, the way I see it, I mean, if you do the research on the band, all these guys used to be in harder bands, you know,
right.
more metal bands.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, the name of this album is Highly Refined Pirates, and that's pretty much what they are, you know?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of hardcore metal dudes that chilled out. And this is the music they're making.
And it is all chilled out. And all this, every other song is lyrically is about like being with a girl, laying with a girl in bed.
Kind of. You know? It's all there. It's all about laying with a girl in bed or missing a girl. Or
missing a girl. I was going to say yearning for
or,
a girl.
Or the girl misses you.
Yeah.
Or we're hanging out with girls.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's either yearning for girls, talking about being with girls, or the other option is we're just hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, this song's about going to France.
And staying at a two-star hotel near St. Germain.
Near St. Germain, which we did, which was awesome.
We might have actually done that.
Exactly.
That decision might have been influenced by the song a little bit.
Perhaps a little bit.
But hey, I'll say this. Nicest two-star hotel I've ever been.
Oh, dude, stars don't mean anything, Chris.
Apparently, stars mean you don't get a shower curtain.
That was so... Why did... That bathroom was so nice.
Except that it didn't have a shower curtain.
Yeah, it was really
And everything
weird.
Was stainless steel, so make sure everything got nice and wet, so you slipped into your hand. You were extra dead.
Yeah, and white tile, so the blood really showed up.
Two-star hotel, indeed.
Yes. These guys really got me into... they started getting me into the Pinbacks, Flaming Lips, Abandoned Pools, Muse, kind of Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah, I can definitely see the connection to all those bands.
All those and minus the Barrel was the door that opened that.
Very nice.
And what I love about these guys is they can go from like super chill to super rocking.
They can.
A heartbeat. They've got that Zeppelin, that whisper and the thunder thing going.
Yeah, I was just thinking that they, like at this song, at the end of the song, it ends with just everyone like
going crazy.
And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But still like confined to a thing. Yeah, I know. It's a very cool sound.
I would
have picked, if you didn't put a Minus the Bear song on your thing, I probably would have put one.
Yeah,
there,
no,
you
know? I mean,
though,
but I mean,
figured almost for sure you were going to do that.
And when I think Minus the Bear, I always just think like things in passing. Like, you know, it's like that music that's just like the in-between parts of life.
Right.
You know?
Just driving somewhere.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Waiting for something.
Yep. Thinking about a person.
Yearning for that girl that was in your bed a week ago, because that's what every other song is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, it's Minus the Bear. Man, good stuff.
Really good stuff.
Love that Minus the Bear. So let's see, where does that bring us? That brings us to my second choice, which is, I felt like I had to pick this band.
You had to.
Just because, of the top like two or three best concerts I've ever been to.
Yeah.
This is always up there in the discussion. I saw them.
But where?
Huh?
That's the question. Where did you see?
I saw them on one tour, but twice on one tour.
Because when I think of some of the greatest shows I've ever seen, they all usually are at the Social, unfortunately.
Ah, this is one of the
but,
few.
But there are a couple.
This is one of the exceptions.
There are a couple exceptions.
This is one of the exceptions. I saw these guys on one tour, two nights in one tour. I saw them at the USF Sundome in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
And then the next night at the Amway Center.
Okay.
The old Amway Center.
Big band.
Huge band.
Big band.
Huge band, huge tour.
Big band, big tour at the Amway Center.
Rockin' band.
Rockin'.
With connections that's going, I mean, it's Tool.
It's the King Crimson cover band.
The King Crimson cover band. Tool. I love them.
Great. Dude,
one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, dude. I was in the seats at the Amway Center for the Tool show.
Oh, the one that was here, the Lateralis tour.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw them again there.
Yeah, I think it was Lateralis. Because the last time they came around when they were at the UCF whatever, I totally didn't even know. Like people were like, dude. So did you go to the Tool show? Wait a minute, there was a Tool show.
Oh yeah, it was at UCF or something.
Yeah, yeah, it was sold out immediately. Yeah, I had no idea. But yeah, I think it was Lateralis tour. I was in the seats and I still had an amazing time.
Well, I saw them twice. Like I said, I saw them at the USF Sundome where I was literally at the very top.
Yeah,
as high up as you could go.
Yep.
Still loved it. The very next night in Orlando. I was the complete opposite. I was on the guardrail.
Oh, you were?
Like 10 feet in front of who's the bassist? Not Adam Jones. The guy that no one knows, the bassist.
Yeah,
he was right there.
Nice.
Huge speaker right in front of me. Like yeah. When the bass hit really low, I could feel my ribs
jiggle.
Whoa, it was crazy. But it was such a good tour. Both shows were amazing, and it was supplemental, right? Because it was the Lateralis tour, which is, I'm going to play something off of Lateralis. So they played almost the entire album, and then the first night, they interspersed songs off of Anima, mostly Anima.
Yeah.
And then the next night, they played a couple different songs off of Anima, but then they threw in like a song off of their first EP, Opiate, and they played what's the huge, the one big single, Sober.
Yeah, that was in Orlando. I was there for that.
For that year when that tour
everybody
was going
got
on,
so angry. Apparently, like, they don't play Sober much anymore.
They don't.
Like,
I was
they just don't play it. No. So when people heard that they played Sober, like, I had people with like knives,
like, it doesn't make
to
any
my
sense.
Throat.
Yeah,
like you heard Sober live?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. That tour, I paid attention to their set list because as it was getting closer to Orlando, I wanted to see what kind of songs they were playing. I saw they were changing it up.
Yeah.
And they played Sober once up until that point, and it was on the second night of their two-night stint at Madison Square Garden in New York City. So they were like, we're playing the same building twice in a row.
We got to do something different.
We're mixing it up. So we're playing Sober in a second. I was like, oh, they're not going to. I'm not going to see it. And then they played it. I was like, oh, my God. But this is off Lateralis. I picked this song because it kicks in right away. There's no waiting for it. Yeah. Most of their songs you got to wait for. So,
well, yeah, they have that whole building thing going.
Exactly. Which is why I love them.
Feels so awesome.
But, I mean, we're not trying to be here all night. So here's a little bit of Parabola off of Lateralis.
Amazing.
So it's more of the straightforward heaviness of Tool, but there's still, you know, that's typical Tool, like, stuff in there.
No, I just love their bass lines.
Bass lines are crazy. The drumming, you know, it's all ridiculous.
It's the droning bass that's always gotten me with Tool.
And then the album they did after that was 10,000 Days, where the bass was, like, the best part. The rest of the album, 10,000 Days wasn't that good of an album. It's okay.
It's still Tool.
It's still Tool, but it's no Lateralis or Anima or even Undertow. All those albums are so crazy good.
Undertow was amazing, but Anima, man. Oh,
people love the Anima.
Oh.
People love the Anima.
Oh, dude, it was on the. They were playing Tool on the radio with Anima.
Yeah. It's only where it was Undertow. They were playing Sober on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two albums. And they played Schism on the radio, too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I remember they played Schism on Rock
They
radio.
Didn't play Parabola on the radio.
Not really.
This song's freaking amazing.
The song's great. Tool's great.
They are.
Love Tool. So you should listen to Tool if you don't already.
I mean, I even like, what's this stuff?
Perfect Circle?
Yeah, APC. I really like 13th Step.
There's also Pussifer. Pussifer?
Never really got into Pussifer.
And there's Maynard's Wine, which I've never tried.
Nope, me neither. It's probably not that good.
There's Arizona Wine. It could be good. I don't know. I know nothing about wines.
Me neither. I'm just talking shit.
So Tool, it's great stuff.
Tool's awesome.
There you go.
Amazing. Once again, if you don't know about Tool, you really need to get on it.
I mean,
quickness.
How much do we need to wax poetic about these guys? I mean, wax ecstatic. Isn't that a band?
Probably.
All right, Drew. So moving on. What's your numero tres?
All right, number three is a song called "March of the Fire Ants" by your favorite metal band and mine, Mastodon.
So
it's
good.
Off their first album, Remission.
So good.
Man, I remember this was the first song I ever heard by them, and once it starts,
it'll hook you.
It just starts, and it's like the entire. And I was already into metal, so like I just heard the end. It's just it's so good.
Wait, so what does it do?
It starts. I mean, it's just. It just makes me want to put my freaking horns in the air and rock my head. Oh man, I love it.
Just stereotypical.
I just want to be the stereotypical metal guy. Just start headbanging with my horns up.
Yeah.
I mean, saw these guys once again at the Social. Like, right when this album came out, they were opening up for Clutch.
Yes.
And
one of the loudest shows I've ever been to.
Yes. And they played this song, and it was awesome. I freaked the hell out.
Yeah, that was great.
It was
a good show.
Fantastic.
Oh my God. I saw them follow-up show, same venue at the Social. Probably the same one you were there, where it was Norma Jean open.
Yes.
And then Mastodon.
Yes.
And then the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yes. I was there.
So sick.
Yes, I was at that show.
Did you go to the House of Blues show?
The Dillinger show at House of Blues?
Where it was freaking...
Because I've been to the Dillinger show at House of Blues.
It was Mastodon, Every Time I Die, Zayo, Dillinger, and like one other band. Yes. I was just like, at the time, one of my most favorite bands.
Yes, I was at that show because I remember that's the only time I've seen Zayo.
Oh, Zayo.
The only time.
I've seen him a couple times.
It was awesome.
I've seen him a couple times. But that time was better than the second time.
And what I like about Mastodon is this is off their first album, yes, which is just really metal.
It's more straightforward
metal. It's really straightforward, like sludgy stoner metal.
Right.
But as these guys have progressed throughout the years, and you know, in the last 15 years, because they just put out an album recently. But I mean, these guys just keep, they're like the Rush of metal bands.
They keep going.
They really remind me of like Between the Buried and Me, like the way that how they're progressing and just becoming like this weird metal thing.
The Crack the Sky album is my favorite.
So good. And I don't know.
And there's the instrumental version that you can get,
which is really good as well.
I mean, the singing's fine and all, and it's not even like this where they're actually doing more singing. Yeah. Where the guy sounds like Ozzy Osbourne,
kind of.
But I prefer the instrumental version just because it sounds so.
It's so awesome. I don't know. I'm a big fan of Leviathan.
Leviathan's great. It's
so good. And once again,
Blood Mountain.
Yeah, I mean. Mastodon.
And then with album titles like Blood Mountain and yes, Leviathan. And song titles like Trainwreck and
March of the Fire Ants.
March of the Fire Ants. I mean, you know what you're getting. Crack the Sky. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, and that's a concept album too.
Yeah, it is.
About what the czars and what's his dude? What's his face? Rasputin?
Yeah.
And whatnot. But yeah, I mean.
Czarist Russia.
I mean, yeah, but this album, I mean, this really kickstarted my college metal career and exploring, like, new metal things.
Nice.
Which turned me on to stuff like Flak Dahlia Murder, Fall of Troy, Clutch, Dillinger Escape Plan, Dragon Force, Horse the Band, yes, Gojira, Between the Buried and Me, August Burns Red, Hopes Fall, stuff like that.
All good bands. All good bands. I almost added Hopes Fall to my
It's good, man. I got into it late. But it's Hopes Fall is some good stuff.
Hopes Fall, I saw them live once.
But you see, you like their earlier stuff, and I really like their later stuff.
Yeah,
I think Magnetic North is just amazing.
It's okay.
I really like
it. It's all about the satellite years, bro.
I know that's what you keep saying.
It's all about the satellite years. Well, okay, you're talking about the music that got you into other stuff.
Yeah, pretty much my whole list is stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. My first two. Dillinger and Tool, that was stuff that's like a culmination. That's what I was listening to, and boom, like that's the best from the college days. But then there was stuff that I did listen to at that time that helped me branch out and break out of my box, my little confined box of, you know, it's got to be metal or hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was at the time. Yeah. It was metal or hip hop. And quite frankly, you know, one can listen to too much heavy metal and hip hop.
Oh, totally.
You gotta diversify.
Oh, yeah.
What got me into indie rock was a particular band. What paved the way for me to get into stuff like Minus the Bear and all that was a little band called Modest Mouse.
Oh, everybody loves the Modest Mouse.
Everyone loved the Modest Mouse. Modest Mouse hit a fucking
brick wall.
They
really haven't been good in a really long time.
No, they
but, good music for people.
Good music for that was good news.
That was garbage.
For people who like, I don't know.
Boo doo 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 doo. That song that was all over the radio.
Yeah,
made me want to shoot myself in the face.
And now it's been remixed a bunch of times.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
terrible. Heard there's some hip hop song where
that's
the main hook of the song.
It's so bad.
I know. And it's like, of all the Modest Mouse songs.
I know. Seriously. Doing the Cockroach, man. Let's do the freaking Cockroach, Chris.
Let's do the Cockroach. That's the album I want to talk about. Because The Moon in Antarctica is like their last really good album.
Yeah.
But the one before that, The Lonesome Crowded West. Oh, my goodness.
Amazing.
What a fantastic album. Doing the Cockroach. Doing the Cockroach is a song that got me into it.
Yep.
But my favorite song now, after the whole thing, it would be either between this or Cowboy Dan. And
Cowboy Dan's awesome.
For the purposes of this show, I'm going with Lounge, parentheses, Closing Time. And I think it starts kind of slow. Actually, no, here we go. I mean, and then their oldest stuff is so lo-fi.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's what
drew a lot of people in.
That's what I liked. They were weird. They were kind of folky.
Yes. A little bit.
But it was really the lo-fi recording. Like it sounded like you and me were recording this right here in our freaking you know, in the studio here.
It's not slick or nothing.
No. But that's what gave it its, you know.
And that album that we're talking about, The Good News, whatever, blah, blah, blah. From that point on, they sounded more produced.
And it's
actually the album before that, Moon in Antarctica, they were
a little more produced.
They were starting to slick it up. That's why this is the one, Lonesome Crowded West. Oh. What's this guy's name? Isaac. Isaac. No.
I don't even remember.
Isaac something. I think I almost said the guy's name from Noir.
Oh, those guys are fun.
Yeah, I saw these guys live once.
Me too. It was
at the social.
Yeah, it was that Valentine's weekend.
Day, the one that was sold out.
Well, no, they did
two shows, but they were both sold out
back to back. Yeah,
and they were both sold out.
Yes,
because I couldn't get tickets for that show.
Yep.
Friend of Crespo Diso, Maddie J, show engineer and whatever else he does for us.
Space rocket scientist, man.
Whatever he does for us. He was determined as hell to see this band.
Yeah.
As much as I like Modest Mouse, at that time, they were his like favorite fucking band.
Yeah.
And he was looking online. He was like, there's no, the tickets are sold out. What are we going to do for the Orlando shows? They just announced a show in Jacksonville. They added one because of the response in Florida was so good.
Yeah.
Jack Rabbits, Jack something. Jacksonville listeners, let me know what the place is. I bet you it's still there, though. It's this little shitty bar that held, like, you think the social is small.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing Modest Mouse at a place like the Old Will's Pub, you know,
or
dive bar downtown or
something. I saw Against Me at the Old Will's Pub.
Right.
That was...
Something really small like that?
Dude, it's literally... I could have punched the dude in the face, and he probably would have thanked
me. They were right there.
That close. There's no guardrail. He's, like, 6 feet taller than I am.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Like, dude, you're right there.
It was awesome. It was right there. It was a super small venue. It was a great trip. Had a great time. So, there you go. So Modest Mouse. And this Modest song Mouse? Goes on for like 7 minutes. Yeah. So, people, check out your Modest Mouse.
It's good stuff.
The old Modest Mouse.
Es muy bueno for our Spanish listeners.
All right. So, what's your Modest Mouse? What's your... we're on number four. All right. Here we go. Two to go, Drew. To go.
Number four, I have... a song by CeeLo Green off his album CeeLo Green and His Perfect Imperfections.
Nice. Oh, what a good album. See, that's another one where I
big
almost...
Big ol' words, parentheses, damn.
I almost...
This entire album, front to back, is probably one of the crowning achievements of musical history.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's...
I mean, if you like funk, if you like soul, if you like hip-hop, if you have ears, you should be listening to this album.
I would agree that this album, CeeLo Green and His
Perfect Imperfections,
is one of the greatest pieces of music I've ever heard.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, yes. It is just...
It is this from the second I heard it until it turned off, I was literally floored. I was thinking to myself, damn.
And there's something about this album too, because I've heard other CeeLo stuff and like Dungeon Family and, you know, all the side projects,
Goody Mob,
the many things,
where Gnarls,
Sparkly,
from.
All that stuff. Yeah. And it's good.
It doesn't get me like this album.
Yeah, it's all good. There was a second Perfect Imperfections album. It was good.
It's not this though.
It's not this album. So, big old words, parentheses, damn. And it starts with a flute.
Dude, the entire beat's a flute and a rattle.
Yeah, it is a flute and a rattle. That's how you know.
And a hi-hat. And that's it. And a bass line. That's it. Flute, rattle, hi-hat, bass line, and his voice.
That's how you know it's a badass album.
It's so good, dude. Damn.
That bass drops.
Oh, that bass drops so good. And it's just his. Just listen.
In old fashioned, have I lost my passion for the pen? It's just that lately life has been a lot less inspiring. To tell you the truth, trials and tribulation is very tiring. I gotta play a little game of gimmick and gunfiring. I'm not aspiring to be any lower or higher than. I get equal as into I again. I'm the truth, I'm complicated, I'm already, but try again. I've got to die once to never ever die again.
Listen to that shit.
He's good, man.
I mean, and he's not just, you know, rapping about money and cars and hoes. Like, there's heart and soul and intelligent words coming out of this man's mouth.
Yeah, he's intelligent, and the whole album has a point, you know, when you see from start to finish.
It's just so...
It's just another thing where I could sit here for an hour and talk about how much I love it.
Yeah.
We can listen to every song and be like, listen how great this is.
You are correct.
It's so possible.
The entire album's front to back, but I tried to pick one of the, maybe the lesser known songs.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, he,
as opposed to like Super Chicken. Super Chicken.
Or Super Chicken or Super Freak or any of that stuff.
Or, Basshead Jazz.
Yeah, Basshead Jazz. I almost picked Basshead Jazz, but it didn't.
It's a little slow.
Well, it doesn't have his eloquence in...
Oh, no.
In rapping.
No. Well, only a couple of these songs have this rapping. Yeah. A lot of it's about him singing.
Like, yeah, yeah. Exactly, but it's pretty awesome. Dude, he's got skills. I mean, and this is like the intelligent hip-hop.
And now he's a judge on a TV singing game show.
Oh, good for him.
Making that money. I guess he's making that money.
Whatever. This CeeLo album is awesome. Turned me on to stuff like Talib Kweli, Mos Def, Black Star, obviously. Mm-hmm. Chaos, Common, Atmosphere, Bus Driver, Sign, Diggable Planets.
All great stuff.
All sorts of awesome, really intelligent hip hop.
Absolutely.
You know,
the defining characteristic of all that.
Exactly.
It's all smart stuff.
And it, I don't know. It's a stark difference to the stuff that, you know, it's played on the radio most of the time.
Well, night and day.
I mean, not gonna lie. I love me some gangster rap. I'm not gonna lie. You throw on Doggy Style and I can pretty much rap that album front to back.
Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with.
No, exactly. Man. You know, I love that shit too, but it, you know, it's got a time and a place.
Same thing, man. You can't be all heavy metal and hip hop.
Exactly.
You gotta branch it out, even if it's just smarter hip hop.
Yes.
All right, so.
Well, the smarter hip-hop tends to be a little more jazzy as well.
That's true, yeah. Well, they have their influences. Jazzier or funkier.
Exactly.
Or,
it's a different slice of the pie.
Snoop's like, can I just take the whole Atomic Dog out? Pretty good here. All right, so now this next group. This was a group where I heard one song. I actually heard one. All right, funny story. Really into wrestling. In the 90s.
Yes.
And one of the wrestling things I watched was Extreme Championship Wrestling, which is
ECW
Underground at that time. I actually never really got past Underground. It flirted with the mainstream. But one of their things that they did that set them apart from all the big companies was because they were so small and they so just didn't give a fuck that their wrestlers came out to music that they did not have the licensing for.
Of course.
So one guy who called himself Sandman came out to Metallica's Enter the Sandman.
Which is ballsy.
Yeah, yeah, because Metallica is too crazy. For their music, and the company was making money, you know. Anyway, so this one guy came out to this one song, and I was like, "Oh, this is a crazy song." I had no idea what it was. This was before Shazam and all that shit, so I couldn't, you know, just find out what it was. I was like, I just figured I would never know.
Yeah,
no, I didn't even bother. I was like, I had to do research, go to the library, and hum the song to the librarian. So then, a couple years later, I go to college, and I'm just hanging out at a party. Actually, it was the first year of college. Hanging out at a party, and someone's playing some music, and it sounds pretty cool. And then that song comes on.
You're like, hey.
I'm like, what is this? I know this song. A wrestler comes out to this song. And someone explains to me that the band is called Soul Coughing.
Yes.
And that song was Super Bon Bon. Which is probably their most popular song.
Soul Coughing's awesome.
Soul Coughing is great.
Weird stuff, but good stuff.
That's my point. I was like, what? Well, it has that one song, so maybe I'll like their other stuff. Because that Super Bon Bon, when you just hear it like on a TV during a wrestling thing, all you hear is the beat and the music, and it sounds very straightforward.
Yes.
So someone hooked me up with that album, Irresistible Bliss.
Oh, dude.
I checked that out, and I was like, this is some weird shit, man.
The Spawn soundtrack has a Soul Coughing and... something
with
else.
With you, like Aphex Twin.
Oh, man, I forget.
Spawn soundtrack that did that mixed up?
Yeah, with the techno with the metal. Right. Yeah, but no, dude, it's the name of the song is like I something scraped on the belly of a plane.
Sounds about right. I'm sure the title and the lyrics were done by I can't think of the guy's name now. The dude who is pretty much Soul Coughing, that guy who writes everything. He's considered a poet almost first and foremost with his lyrics, and his lyrics sound very abstract. But apparently, it all means very specific stuff, and he even has published like books and things in the past. There are books published that kind of go over his lyrics and what each song is about. I'm not sure what this song's about, but I know the first time I heard this song, I was pretty much in love with this band forever, and I still listen to this album, Ruby Room, which is their first album. I listen to that. I still listen to El Oso. But man, when I heard the song, I was just like, "This is this music?" Because it's blowing my mind.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
I'm just let's just listen to the first like 45 seconds of this, people. See what you think. The song's called "Bust to Beelzebub."
I love it.
Nice. I'm sure you would love it.
Hail Satan. Love that drum beat.
Yeah.
When it kicks in.
Get onto the bus that's gonna take you back to Beelzebub.
So weird.
love it, dude. I feel like I'm in some sort of weird, psychedelic, crazy circus.
Or like you're trapped in a nightmare of a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yes, which is, like I said.
Yeah.
What did I just say?
Well, you said circus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, seriously. Yeah,
same vibe. Same weird vibe.
This is the kind of music that plays in my head when I'm under the influence of hallucinogens.
There you go. When Drew uses hallucinogens, this is the music that plays in his head.
In my head.
Oh, so good. It is. So soul coughing is what got me into like,
it's weird. And you know what?
It opened up my brain chakras to be able
to... Your third eye?
Tool's more of a third eye thing. This is more of a chakra thing. And it allowed me to just accept all this weird stuff with weird samples and beats and lyrics and just a mishmash of things, because this is like indie rock, but it also gets bluesy and a little jazzy.
Electronic.
Also is all electronic. Yeah. There's parts that get like reggae-ish. You know, it's like, what are these guys doing?
Just
this one has
weird.
This what sounds like cartoon circus samples.
Yeah.
The hook. Yeah. Mind-blowing. I've played this song for other people who hadn't heard Soul Coughing before, and you can see it on their face. Like, the mind explodes, and then all the brain juices oozing out of their eyes and their nose and their ears.
Because they can't take it. I love that look on people's faces.
What is this?
I don't know exactly what it is, but it's amazing.
So, Soul Coughing.
Kind of makes me want to dance a little bit.
And now Soul Coughing sound. Now, if you hear that, sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Your Pokemon monster.
Yeah, kind of.
That joke is so 98.
Oh, man.
People still watch Pokemon?
I think so. I mean, it's one of the highest-selling video game franchises of all time.
That's right. We talked about that in Doctor's 2 Cents, the video game edition. Very well downloaded. So thank you, everyone, for downloading that show. I hope you all enjoyed it. And so here you go, Soul Coughing. All right, now this brings us to the end of our top five, Drew. What's the fifth song? I force you to only choose five.
This is one of the bands that got me into the instrumental side of music. Stuff that where it's no lyrics.
And since it's
whatsoever instrumental,
I'm just gonna go ahead and start it.
Yeah, that's
so
fine.
You can go ahead and
there's no lyrics, and it's slow too.
That's why I went ahead and started. Go ahead.
It's the song is called My Hand in Yours, I think. No, Your Hand in Mine. The name of the band is Explosions in the Sky. It's off the album The World is Not a Cold Dead Place.
The Earth is not a cold dead place.
Earth is not a cold dead place.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's very ethereal.
It is. This is, I think, their
guitar flourishes.
Second album?
Yeah.
It's very...
Lots of crazy guitar flourishes. It's all very, slow motion. I mean, these guys did the soundtrack to Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
Most people have probably seen the movie.
So you probably even recognize the style of music.
Yeah, exactly. And
then we just watched that Prince Avalanche movie.
Yeah, had Explosions in the Sky score.
Yeah, where they did it with another guy, the David Wingo guy.
Yeah.
I think it was Dave Wingo. Someone else, but yeah, it had some very, very explosions-y sound.
They've got that sound to them where if you hear a certain part of the song, you're like, that's Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah, like it has to be them. If it's not them,
it's someone, a really good ripoff.
It's someone ripping them off, exactly.
Yeah, like this part.
Yeah, it's always
they've always
like,
got the building drums.
I was gonna say the drums always build; they never come in right away.
Nope.
And then by the end, it's like,
yeah, it's like a rainstorm. And then, then the mist clears, because it is. It's like a sunny day, and then the rain comes, because it usually gets heavy and bombastic, and then a nice little mist.
And then it clears out. Yeah.
And then on to the next song.
Then all their songs are like 6 to 8 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of them are even longer. Some of them get 13, 24.
It's like, come on, guys.
I mean.
Were they from Texas?
Yes.
Honestly, Austin, Texas?
I'm not sure if they're from Austin, but I'm pretty sure they're from Texas.
Big Sky.
But yeah, no, these guys got me into bands like Pelican.
Yes.
Pelican's
like a metal version of Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah. The Free Association.
Yeah.
Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Oh, yes.
Mogwai.
Godspeed is like Explosions, but on bad acid.
Yeah, because not good.
Because every
not
song is like, parts are like, this sounds like a horror film.
Some of it kind of is sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, the name of the band is Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Yeah, true.
So,
fair enough.
Mogwai. And Sigur Rós. Cigarettes. You remember those guys?
Yeah, they actually, I think they were just in town.
Really?
I think
Is that dude still creating his own silly language?
Yeah, I think they're still doing their
Moron.
Stupid language. It's pretty stupid.
The guy just sings in weird phonetic tones and he calls it his own language. What a crock of shit.
I mean, he's a fan of Nell, that Jodie Foster movie.
I guess. I mean,
not talking about movies.
It's a really. Cigarettes is really good, though.
Cigarettes is good.
Freaking amazing, but yeah, Explosions in the Sky. Some it's really good music. I mean, it's great to drive to if
yes.
you know if
long
you,
drives.
Yeah, long drives.
Not going to the store.
No. You, I'm talking like you're like driving to Orlando to Tampa. You need something to kill an hour. Throw an Explosion in the Sky, and you'll have a really nice drive.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Great stuff.
Good stuff. All right, so there you go, people. Listen to it. Explosions in the Sky. All right, and my final song, and then, of course, we're going to do the, what are we listening to now, but my final for the five, going back now to the beginning where we got talking more about metal, because I stopped.
Yes.
I stopped with the metal, got into the Soul Coughing and the Modest Mouse and all that broke out.
That
all
that weird
entail,
indie stuff.
That led to the G-Love and a special sauce.
Oh, the G-Love.
I
got sauce.
But yeah, baby's got sauce. So over the years, though,
baby
I still
like
listen to the metal. And one...
Well, you can't get rid of the metal,
can't
dude.
Get rid of the metal.
It's like, nah, it's like the lifeblood.
Yeah, but I haven't been listening to much new metal lately.
Well,
I don't mean metal sucks.
I'm not
talking about new metal like late 90s Machine Head. I mean, you know, new N.E.W., like stuff that was released chronologically recently.
Because it's not necessarily all that good.
I mean, is it? I don't know. I can't.
I mean, I haven't... And then again, I really haven't listened to like the last two Mastodon CDs.
Well, that one, Mastodon, I do believe reached your peak with Crack the Sky.
Yeah, so I didn't. I haven't.
I'm sure their subsequent albums are good, but I doubt it. They're any as good as Crack the Sky.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Fear Factory.
Yeah.
Fear Factory in '98 put out Obsolete, which is their man versus machine Terminator style concept album, which told the story from start to finish, and it's a brilliant album. And they put out a bunch of albums since then, and none of them even come close.
Yeah.
To Obsolete.
It happens.
One of my favorite bands, post Dillinger Escape Plan and all that stuff, is, you already mentioned them.
Meshuggah.
No, you
didn't mention
you
that.
You did not mention Meshuggah. Yanni. Between the Buried and Me.
Oh, so good. Amazing. I wanted to put them on my list, but I figured you probably would have had them on yours.
There you go. So you gave me that concession.
Yeah,
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You took the minus the bear. I'll take the Between the Buried and Me. They put out the album. I mean, what was it there?
Colors?
Yeah, I'm trying. It had the self-titled, and then
Alaska.
There was one before that, Silent Circus.
Yeah.
Then Alaska. So their fourth album, Colors.
Yeah.
That is their pinnacle.
Oh,
and
totally.
Not only is Colors their pinnacle, but I do think that Colors is pretty much gonna go down in history as the greatest metal album of all time.
It very well could.
It should.
It's
people
man.
Aren't, people
it's,
aren't
it runs
think
the
about
gamut.
It. The whole album runs the gamut.
It's so progressive too. I think even now, saying in the year 2013, it might be a little ahead of its time.
I think so.
It's still gonna weird people out. Like I think it's gonna be like one of those things where like now in the year 2013, yes, sounds like it should be around.
Yeah, true.
Like it sounds normal.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, but that stuff was recorded in the 70s. So I think we're still going to have to wait till like 2020, 2030 before people are like, oh, Between the Buried and Me. You know what? That sounds regular.
Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
This all makes perfect sense. Colors is 7 tracks, maybe 8, but it's all one song.
Yeah. No. Oh.
And that's part of the problem with this format here. I couldn't just pick one track off that album to play.
So what part of the album did you
start?
Exactly,
that's the thing. It's like I would either be picking a song where the beginning of the song was a very, very slow, long build-up, or it would just be starting the song, the track starts so fast.
Like right in the middle.
It's like you're jumping into a race car at 150 miles an hour, and you're trying to jump into the window as it passes by.
You know what I like about this album, actually? You know what I like about the album Colors specifically? Mm. Like the parts where I think the songs start and end are not where the tracks start and end on the CD.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's like, I don't like this part of this song. I'll just skip ahead. Whoa, that's way too far. Wait a minute. Wait, that's the beginning? I'm in the middle of that track. What's going on here?
Yeah, it was weird. So I couldn't pick anything off that. That's my favorite Between the Buried and Me album. But for this purposes, I couldn't just throw people into Colors.
I mean, you could have just had it playing in the background the entire time while we talked about the music.
Yeah, but then it's too much. So I picked a song that I thought, for people that haven't heard Between the Buried and Me, their album before Colors,
Alaska.
Alaska is excellent.
It is.
Excellent, excellent
album. It was, I thought it was the best thing. It was the best thing they had done up to the time.
It was the best thing they had done up to the time. And as a matter of fact, that was the album where it's the current lineup they have now. It was solidified on Alaska, where pretty much they pulled a Dave Grohl, where he went and just got like the rhythm section for Sunny Day Real Estate. It's like, yeah. Oh, they're great. I'll just steal them for Foo Fighters. They went, I forgot the band, but they stole the drummer and the bassist from another band.
And we're just like, you're coming with me.
You guys are in our band now. And they're just so tight. They took the band to the next level, yeah. Adding them. So this song has kind of an intro where you can hear the Rush influence.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear
they're so progressive.
You can hear the progressive stuff going on. And then the metal starts bleeding through. So this song is called Selkies, The Endless Obsession.
Oh, it's face-meltingly good.
So let me get that volume up so you can hear the awesomeness.
I love the synth. I love watching him play the synth.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, in the middle of metal, he's just sitting there on this keyboard, just rocking out.
Tiny little keyboard. And then there's a little double bass roll come up here that I love.
Do you remember when they played Colors live?
Straight through.
Chris.
So good.
From front to back.
So good. At the social.
Those were Colors. Oh, man.
Yeah, these guys are incredible. I love seeing them live.
Oh, dude, every time they come around, I try to make a point to see them.
I try to. They've put out like two or three, like two albums.
The Hypersleep
and then
Dialogue, and Parallax, then like
a three-song thing after Colors, and it's all, you know, it's good.
But it's not Colors.
It's not Colors. That actually almost sounds like they're trying to chase that. Like, now they're just chasing the dragon. So, it's kind of sad. I still love the guys.
Still good music, though.
I still go see them live.
Still a great live show.
But I would rather just see them play Colors straight through again.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. I mean, the last time they came around, they had Animals as Leaders opening for them.
Right.
Which is another good instrumental band.
I remember that. At the Beach Gym. So there you go. Between the Buried and Me. It's a weird band name, yes, but they get it from a Counting Crows song. It's a line from a Counting Crows song.
You know what album's also really good by them? Writer's Block.
No, you're thinking The Anatomy Of.
Yes, The Anatomy Of.
Writer's Block is Evergreen
Terrace.
Yeah,
my bad.
But it's the same concept.
Yeah. Where it's just a bunch of covers.
Yeah.
It's actually quite good.
You got the Metallica on there, Smashing Pumpkins, Blind Melon, Queen.
Yeah. It's if you're iffy into, you know, something like Between the Buried and Me, which is very progressive, that album might get you into them.
There you go.
Because it's songs you know.
The Anatomy Of.
Yes.
Good call, Drew. All right, so that's our fire. That brings us up to now. I don't know. I'm not too sure what we're going to do for the December Crespo Disco. I guess that'll be a surprise for everyone.
Yeah.
But to end the show, we'll talk about what we're listening to now. It's not What the Hell's Angel Listening To. It's What the Heck Is Drew and Chris Checking Out These Days.
In their ear holes.
In their ear holes via online services. So, Drew, why don't you go ahead? What the hell are you listening to? Oh no, I said I can't.
Oh, you can't say that.
Sorry, Angel. He's not listening.
Can't say that. Well, right. I mean, I am super heavy on this goddamn French electro new disco pop
disco
bullshit nonsense. It's all really happy and saccharine. Thank God there's no lyrics to it. It just kind of makes you want to dance, even though I can't because I'm white. But this, I don't even know how to pronounce the name of the band. I think it's Stardun.
It's spelled Stardun.
Yeah, Stardun, but the E is big, and the name of the track is Love Days.
It could be Stardun.
It's very 80s and very synth heavy. It's all... It's very dancey as well. Like, this could be at a club. You could be getting down.
I wonder if
that self.
I wonder if Angel knows about Stardown.
I don't know. I don't know if he knows about any of this, because I've been listening to a lot of this, and most of this stuff's from France.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of this French new disco that's been coming out for the last like 5 years or so.
Good job, French.
It makes me want to move my feet, and I can't dance, Chris. I literally cannot dance, and it makes me want to.
That's when you move your shoulders.
Yep. I can do the shoulder dance.
Keep your feet still.
Or I can do the head bob.
Your shoulders in your head.
I can do the head bob.
Shoulders in your head. Shoulders in your head.
But it's, I mean, it's, you know, it's really poppy. It's nothing special. It's got that heartbeat beat, which is do, 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 do.
I like that. So we do a show where we talk about a lot of metal. You're like, I listen to metal, 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 metal. And then it's like, what are you listening to now? Function Disco.
Yep. I don't know what it is, dude. It's got me by the balls. I can't stop listening to it.
It is good stuff.
It is.
It's a pretty good song. I dig it. I dig it. Cool. Very nice. That's what Drew's listening to lately via the interwebs. French Disco. Disco, disco.
French disco. It's so weird. I don't. Yeah. Now that you think about it, yeah. Metal's awesome. Metal's awesome. I love metal. Slayer, Gojira.
But sometimes you just got
Lamb of God.
Just got to shake your hips.
But goddamn, this French disco is fucking catchy.
Yeah. You know, I've been talking a lot about Dillinger Escape Plan and Between the Buried and Me and all this stuff. But what I've been listening to lately?
Lately.
I've been listening to some old reggae, bro.
Oh, man. Old school ragu.
Well, it's so old that it was found. You found this LP online. What? I remember.
What is this?
And you shared it with me.
Okay.
And I've been listening to it a lot since.
Because it must be awesome.
It's Johnny Greenwood.
JoJo is the controller.
Is the controller.
Yeah, dude. It's that weird Radiohead reggae.
I almost called him Johnny Controller.
Yeah.
But no, but it's not the Radio Dread.
Yeah,
it's
I know. But it's Johnny Greenwood's from Radiohead.
Yeah. And it's I remember you told me the story.
No, yeah. He he bought some studio down there, and they had a storage facility with whatever they had.
Yeah.
And this was like, oh, by the way, because you bought the studio,
you own all this.
You own all of this and now own the rights to it because the studio owned the rights to it.
Nice.
And it's just like old, really good reggae that nobody's ever heard, I guess.
So he put out this comp, reggae comp,
yep,
called Johnny Greenwood is the Controller. I'm just going to play the very first song off of it.
Go ahead.
The dude's name is Linval Thompson. The name of the song is Dread. Are the controller.
Yes.
I guess they're not very big on proper syntax in Jamaica, man.
No. Well, they smoke a lot of ganja.
Yeah, because they're smoking too much ganja. They're listening to music like this. So who has time?
They're making music like this.
Who has time for grammar? Dread is the controller, Linval. Dread is the controller. But it's cool. It's a good song. And the whole album is just like...
Oh, yeah. The whole album is good. It's
there's
great
like 17
like
songs, and there's only like maybe two songs that I skip.
Yep.
The rest is just straight
amazing.
Through. Yeah, it's really good stuff.
It is.
And this is what I've been listening to. I've been listening to a lot of this. A lot of this and...
good stuff.
There's a lot of this and a lot of Minus the Bear, actually. So
yeah.
Since we talked about Minus the Bear extensively earlier, and I knew we would...
Yeah.
I figured I'd go with the reggae.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
everyone
at home now is just swaying. They're just doing this now.
Yep.
Swaying back and forth.
Yep. Sparking up a fatty or two, maybe.
I was going to say, if you're listening to the show, now's a great time to roll up that last bit of marijuana you've been hiding from your parents and smoke a big old fatty out your bedroom window.
Yeah.
Cinema Crespo de Silver Fish does not condone illicit substance use amongst the youth. But that's only our official position.
Yes.
You know, for legal purposes. So there you go. I guess we'll end on this, right?
Just let it play out.
Just let it play out. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for downloading. We really appreciate it. Drew, plugs.
At AntiHero419 on Twitter and Instagram.
Did we get you to 50 followers yet?
Nah, maybe.
Come on.
I did get a couple recently.
Did you?
I guess.
Come on, people. Follow Drew on Twitter at AntiHero419.
Chris is on this ad campaign. I understand why people don't follow me. It's not like I use Twitter all that often.
Maybe you should.
So.
Maybe you should before Twitter finally fucking kills it and ruins it forever. Because that's what they've been doing for the last month.
I can't wait for it.
I think we'll talk a little bit about that. On our next bonus episode, which is where I don't know what the name of it is yet, but it's the show where I talk about things other than movies.
Other than movies?
Yeah. I'm going to do one show a month where I talk about shit other than movies.
You know things? Wait.
I got opinions, bro.
You know about things other than movies?
I got opinions about things other than movies.
Really?
Right now, first and foremost, Twitter is fucking up.
How so, Chris?
You're going to have to download the next bonus episode to find out. Thanks for the segue, Drew. Appreciate it. So you can check me out on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and get on me on Twitter, and we can enjoy Twitter now before they ruin it for good. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso and Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. So thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. And that was Crespo Disco number 2.